Let's pray together. Loving Lord, we have heard, we have touched the surface from Harvest UK, from the organisation Arosha UK, and from the scheme Eco Congregation, Eco Church. Help us now to listen with our ears, with our heart, with our mind, and with our soul to your calling through this Gospel of Matthew. Amen. I will share a brief reflection for you on Matthew's Gospel and the sowing of the seeds. Again, very familiar passages, and again, I thank Tim for allowing me to go off-piste and not follow your Romans series. But Romans 8 is the chapter in Romans that covers creation. So Paul himself was a wild Christian. So we could be sat here this morning thinking, why is God so generous? Why does he give us everything we need and more? And in this part of Matthew's Gospel, where we've just heard the feeding of the 5,000, and we've seen through that amazing miracle, 12 baskets left over, that God's abundance met the needs of the crowd by individual nature and by family. And if you go to Greenbelt and share communion on that Sunday, that is a memory of that, because you're sat in family groups and you share what you have in the context of communion. But we're asked to reflect now how the emphasis switches from God's action to our response. The emphasis switches from God's action to our response. And that's the key message that I come with today. The first half of the story is all about the listening. The crowds are getting restless. Jesus has been preaching. They're getting hungry. It's getting towards the end of the day. The disciples were sent or suggested to be sent into the town. They wanted feeding physically. Most of them would have been farmers themselves. And of course, I've been thinking of Clarence this week as I've been reflecting about how we are surrounded in this area of our circuit by the farmers in our midst. They are much closer to the food production cycle than most of us. And I used to breed ducks, or they bred themselves really under that bantams. And I used to have bantams. And then somebody told me that in the farming life, on Sunday afternoon, they'd go to the freezer and pick out a piece of lamb, and it would have Mary on, or Melissa, or whatever. And I couldn't do that. I could not eat duck for a long time. But I'm not a true farmer, I'm a smallholder. But this relation with your food production cycle is really important, that you know where your food comes from. And around here, we are blessed by so much local produce. Jesus' community would have known about famine and shortage, and they would know that a sensible farmer does not fling seeds all over the place. Now, if you saw my garden, I am a bit of a random gardener, and I do fling seeds all over the place because they're wildflower seeds. What Matthew is trying to tell us here, in this context of what is our response to God's abundant giving, we are called to prepare the ground as well as we can in advance. And preparing the ground reminds us that we daily come to God in prayer, we read our Bibles, and we meet together in worship. We prepare our ground well, so that the seeds do not fall on rocky ground or among thorns, whatever the sower is up to. Jesus taught in parables. And those of you who know me perhaps better or know more closely will know when I get tired, my R words drop. I wore a brace till I was 21, Our words like rugged and rat are quite challenging. Parables is one of them. And I used to do dictation software for writing essays. A parable is a story with a meaning. In my dictation software, it came out as power balls. So hear about a power ball, and I think that's quite prophetic of God. Because this power ball, has a message and an explanation. How we receive the word of God, so generously scattered, is really important. It is not really a puzzling story. It is hard to see that those who hear God's word, what are we supposed to do about it? We come faithfully week by week to worship. We meet in our life groups. We read our Bibles. Jesus does not attach any blame to the crowd in front of him or his disciples for not getting the point. He didn't say they were shallow. He didn't say they misunderstood him. He didn't say that they were distracted by the cares of the world and the lure of the wealth. But he knew what they needed. And they needed feeding. And they needed feeding spiritually. So it's not about the seed being thrown here, there, and everywhere. As long as you have prepared your ground through prayer and Bible study, it is the sower who starts the story. And the explanation is given to those who are going to be sowers. God may be the primary sower, but the disciples have accepted his commission to join Jesus in spreading the word far and wide. It is their duty to make sure that the soil is prepared, the birds are scared away, the thorns are uprooted, so that the seed does not fall where there is not enough soil to let it grow. As a church community, we prepare well for those who will come amongst us. And as disciples, we are being given the key, not to make us feel superior, not to assure us perhaps that we know the better way or that we have a better status, but that we have a responsibility because we have heard the word. We have that relationship with Christ and he expects and encourages a response. So this is not a parable or a parable of seed, which by its nature is bound to grow or fail, depending on where it is put. This is a parable for the sowers. And as I come to encourage you as a Bronze Eco Congregation, Eco Church, looking to become silver and gold, it is reassuring for you that perhaps in your anxiety that it seems too much. Climate change is a global event. But the responsibility of sowing God's word is individual. Paul says in Romans, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. He knows that everything reflects God's abundance. So what must we wishful sowers do? Prepare our ground. Prepare through prayer and Bible study and by meeting together. Prepare by trusting in the generous mercy of God. And sometimes, as I have encouraged you to be, wild Christians, throw caution to the wind. In your mind, metaphorically, have that wild scattering and watch with delight as God's word accomplishes what we could never have dreamed of. And then the two opportunities you have of going away together, you have the pilgrimage to Israel at the end of October, early November, and the gift of Haile next year. God is calling you to spend time together, to prepare your ground, and to respond to his abundant grace. Live simply, tread lightly, and God will provide. So I have come amongst you and given you a questionnaire, an audit. Just check my watch. We've got plenty of time. Some might have one each, so you might have to share, which is always a good eco theme. If you haven't got one, go and find somebody who has. And I'm going to give you literally 3 to 4 minutes to talk to each other about this audit, to complete it if you want to put your names on if you want to be involved further in a wild Christian group. But what is your response to God when he is calling you to be a wild Christian? We'll give you about 5 minutes, and then Kathy and I will bring you back with Sheila. You'll hear the song.